It's often noted that human beings can survive weeks without food, days without water, and seconds without air. But we can't exist one moment without hope. We require hope to cope. Hope keeps your soul alive. And as a pastor who stood by the bedside of hundreds of people as they took their last breath, I've seen firsthand that hope is the last thing people let go. I'm Rick Warren, and this is Daily Hope.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in our series called The Invisible War. In these lessons, we'll take an in-depth look at the unseen world of good and evil and how the spiritual side of life directly impacts our day-to-day existence in ways we never imagined. If you've ever had the sinking suspicion that there are unseen spiritual forces working against you, you're going to want to stay with us, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a special 7-session DVD series and workbook from Pastor Rick called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle Against Temptation. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part 3 of a message called Set Free From Me.
The fourth mental habit I need to develop, if I want to change my life, is I need to turn my thoughts to God whenever I'm afraid. That's the fourth antidote to these weapons of self-destruction. I remind myself every day what Jesus did for me. I ask the Holy Spirit to give me better thoughts. I realize I now have a new ability to say no. And then I turn my thoughts to God whenever I'm afraid. Whenever I'm afraid. And this is how God's Spirit sets me free from me with the attitude of fear. Romans 8, look at the next verses, verses 14 to 16. For the Spirit God gives you does not make you slaves and cause you to be afraid. Instead, the Spirit makes you God's children. And by the Spirit's power, we cry out to God, Father, my Father. This is actually the Aramaic word, Abba. Abba is not the group. It means daddy, papa. You know, it's dada. It's the most basic, intimate form of father. Daddy. Daddy, my daddy. We cry out to God, Daddy, my daddy. Papa, my papa. Abba, my Abba. God's Spirit joins himself to our spirits to declare that we are God's children. Now, when I was a kid, I wasn't very fearful at all. I really had almost no fears as a child. And was pretty reckless and had a lot of fun growing up. But sometimes as a young child, at night, if I heard something that was kind of scary and I was afraid, I would always cry out to my father. I'd say, Daddy, Daddy. And he could hear me from my room in our house, and my dad would come and see me. Now, when I was afraid, I never called out for my mom. And the reason why is I knew my dad was stronger. Now, my dad wasn't a big guy, but he was very strong because he was a hard worker, and I knew he could take on anybody. And so I'd say, Daddy, whenever I was afraid, I would cry out to Daddy. This is exactly what God tells you to do when you're afraid. Stop focusing on your fear. Start focusing on your father. That's the antidote. Stop focusing on your fear. Start focusing on your father. Now, he says the antidote to fear is two things. First, he says, the Spirit that God has given you doesn't make you slaves, make you afraid, but he makes you God's children. Whenever you are afraid, the first thing you need to do is remember this, whose family you're a part of. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a child of God. I'm in the family. And families take care of each other, and there's family protection. Now, let's say you grew up in Chicago or New York City, and your family was a part of the family. Okay. The mafia family. Okay. And you're walking down the street as a kid. Okay. And somebody starts to assault you, and you stop and you say, oh, wait just a minute. Do you know who I am? Do you know whom I am? My father is Guido. And Guido works for Bruno. And Bruno is the capo de capo de capo de capo. He will make you an offer you can't refuse. Are you sure you want to touch me? Because I'm in the family. And the guy says, well, on second thought, you can have your money back. Because the family protects you. Now, when you start to be afraid, God says, the first thing you say is, wait a minute. Do you know who my father is? My father is the creator of the universe. My father is God. I'm a child of God. I'm in the family. God takes care of his kids. And then I cry out to Father, Father, would you take care of this fear for me? Will you handle this one for me? And my heavenly Father says, of course I'll handle it for me. Go back to sleep. You don't have to worry about it. I'll take care of you. When you are afraid, you remember whose family you're in. You're a child of God. You're not a slave. You're a child of God. And he's going to take care of you. And second, you call out to your father. Now, what are you most afraid of? What are you most afraid of these days? The number one fear people have, I know all the studies. People say it's the fear of speaking in front of others, it's the fear of heights, or, you know, the fear of new social situations. Actually, what I've found as a pastor talking to people for 30 years, the number one fear people have is the fear of being out of control. And when you feel your life is out of control, it creates enormous fear in your life. And the longer you feel it's out of control, you start thinking, I'm out of control. And then you start thinking, maybe I'm losing my mind. And you start fearing, maybe I'm going crazy. Maybe I'm going insane. You've all felt this at different times in your life, so don't act like so self-righteous. Everybody, I think I'm losing my mind. I think I'm going crazy. I'm afraid I'm going nuts. Now, let me just put you at ease. You're not going crazy because crazy people don't fear that. Crazy people are very happy to be crazy and don't care. The very fact that you are afraid you're going crazy means you're rational. So you're not crazy, you're not going crazy. The fear that you're going crazy shows that you're very, very rational. Crazy people aren't afraid of being crazy.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called Set Free From Me, from our series called The Invisible War. The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Do you want to live a victorious life? You can. Everyone is vulnerable to temptation, but few know how to fight it. From the moment we wake up, there's a spiritual war raging around us. In order to effectively fight this war and experience victory, we must be equipped with knowledge of the tactics that Satan uses to ensnare us. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. In this 7-session DVD series and workbook, Pastor Rick will teach you how to overcome the 3 main types of temptations that Satan uses to stumble believers: passions, possessions, and position. If you want to win the battle against temptation, it is critical that you know how to fight the surprisingly predictable ways that Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, is yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you have a smartphone or tablet, you can text the word DAILY to 313131.
And once again, here's Rick Warren.
So, I want everybody to say this. I'm broken, but I'm not crazy. Okay, let's say it aloud together. I'm broken, but I'm not crazy. Let's say it again. I'm broken, but I'm not crazy. Now, some of you are afraid to say it, so let's say it again. Okay, ready? I'm broken, but I'm not crazy. Everybody's broken. I'm broken. You're broken. The person sitting next to you is broken. Nothing is perfect in this world, but you're not crazy. Now, the Bible says that we should not be afraid, but we turn to God. I remember one time in Northern California, it's the year I got married. At the end of the year that I got married, 36 years ago, my health broke, and I began to develop a fear that it's never going to go away, that my life is over. Shoot, my life hadn't even started. But I was afraid, this is the end of my life. I'm never going to amount to anything. Nothing's going to happen in my life. God isn't going to use me. I'm going to be an invalid my entire life, and on and on and on. And I was filled with these fears. And so we took a month off from work, and Kay and I went to Northern California, where my parents lived out in the country in the Redwoods. And while we were there, one day I got up in the morning and I was so depressed because these fears were just clawing at my mind all the time. And the phone rang and my mom picked it up and she handed it to Kay. And the man said, "Is this where Rick Warren is staying?" And I said, "Yes. Can I talk to him?" She said, "Yes." She hands me the phone. This guy says, "Rick, we've never met. I don't know you. You don't know me. I'm calling from San Diego. But I heard that you were going through a tough time. And I just want to give you a verse. And it is this. God, it's 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control." And he hung up. That verse changed my life. Here it is on the screen. "For the spirit that God has given us does not make us fearful or timid. Instead, his spirit fills us with power, love, and self-control." Now get this. The more controlled you are by the Holy Spirit, the more self-control you've got to have. You're going to have. Now get this. A lot of people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. It's like, "I don't want to be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit, that'll turn me into some nut. I'm going to be some religious fanatic. I'm going to be like some of those people on TV saying, 'Baby, you know, out foul spirit of nicotine, you know, and I'm going to be falling over backwards and I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to lose control.'" Actually, it's the exact opposite. The more you have of the Holy Spirit, the more self-controlled you are. In fact, God does not give us, it says, a spirit of fear. So if you are afraid, that's not from God. That fear is not from God. When God's Spirit comes into your life, you're filled with love. I want that. You're filled with power. I want that. You're filled with self-control. I want that. Okay, Holy Spirit, I want all you got. Fill me. It doesn't make me some nutcase. It makes me more human. It makes me more natural. It makes me more loving. It makes me more in self-control. Mastered by the Master, I can master anything. Throw it at me. I can handle it. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the Spirit in me doesn't make me a lunatic or a religious nut. To be filled with the Spirit makes me more self-controlled. And believe me, brother, you need more self-control. The more spirit-controlled I am, the more self-controlled I am. Number five. Three more. Let's move these real quickly. The fifth thing we learn from Romans 8 is about the antidote to hopelessness. And that's verses 17 and 18. And the habit I want you to learn to develop is to focus on the long term, not the short term. Focus on the long term, not the short term. You know, there's a very famous study done by Harvard University, very, very famous study, that figured out that the more long term your thinking is, the more successful you're going to be in life. The shorter term your thinking is, the more failure you're going to be in life. People who fail at life have short-term thinking. They're only thinking about today. They're only thinking about here and now. They're only thinking about what feels good to me right now. But the longer term you think, the more successful you'll be in life. In fact, the longest-term thinkers are those who are most successful in life. Now, as a Christian, we can win this one hands down, because when we think in terms of long-term thinking, we call it eternity. Because we're not just thinking about life here on this earth. We're not thinking about 40, 50 years ahead. We're thinking about trillions and trillions and trillions of years ahead. And living in light of eternity is the key to being the most successful you could possibly be. Thinking in long term. Now, when you think in long term, you're able to handle short-term pain a whole lot better. You're able to handle short-term losses, short-term failures, short-term hindrances, because you're thinking long term. Here at Saddleback, we went 15 years without a building. A lot of pastors would have given up not having a building for 15 years. Saddleback grew to over 10,000 people before we built this building. But it didn't bother me, because I was thinking long term of spending my entire life as a pastor of one church. So 15 years, so what? That's just 15 years. I was thinking long term. And while you're thinking about today and this week for your life, as your pastor who loves you, I'm always thinking ahead for your life. I'm thinking about, what are you going to be at the end of the year? What are you going to be at the end of 5 years? What are you going to be at the end of 10 years? It's called decade of destiny. And that's why I'm thinking about how to help you become all God wants you to be. I'm doing some long-term thinking for your life. I'm going, where do I need to take you so that you'll be what you want to be and what God wants you to be in 10 years? Most people aren't thinking that. The whole society teaches you to think short term, and we'll look at that when we get to the world. Now, Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, talks about focusing on the long term. And it talks about the promises of God, the next few verses. Since we are his children, we will possess, circle the word will, that's a promise, that's in the future. It's not now, it doesn't say we do possess, we will, it's long term. Since we are his children, we will possess the blessings he keeps for his family. And we will also possess, this is really cool, we will also possess with Christ what God has kept for him. Did you know that? The Bible says that when you get to heaven, you're going to get rewarded. You will be rewarded for how well you did with what you were given. What did you do with your time? What did you do with your money? What did you do with your influence? What did you do with your talents? Your time, your talents, your treasure. This is called the stewardship of life. And God has put stuff in your hands and you're a steward of it. You're going to be evaluated on that in heaven, and your rewards will be based on that. And you're going to be rewarded. But not only that, the Bible says you're going to be rewarded not just for how well a steward you were, you're going to be rewarded for what Jesus did. Did you know that? Look at that verse again. It says, and also we will possess with Christ what God has kept for him. Did you know that the Bible says that in heaven we are going to co-reign with Christ? We're going to be heirs with Christ from the Father. We're going to co-reign with Christ. The easiest way for me to explain that is, imagine in heaven this giant theater sign, like a big Vegas sign that's flashing, that says, now starring for eternity, Jesus Christ, co-starring your name. That's what it means to share in Christ's glory. You're going to do that in heaven. So you need to focus not on your little pity, petty pain right now, but on the long-term benefits of doing the right thing and sharing in glory forever. Notice it says, the rest of that verse, for if we share Christ's suffering, we will also share his glory. I consider that what we suffer at this present time cannot be compared, in other words, to small potatoes, with all the glory that is going to be revealed in us. To us. He's saying, yeah, you know what? It's not always easy living for Christ. It's not always easy doing the right thing. It's not always easy making the moral decision. But the benefit long term is going to far outlast the pain. You need to focus long term, not short term. Now, practical example, Daniel plan. Daniel plan means you put up with short term pain in exercise and eating and things like that for long-term benefits, and you don't give up. Same thing with Bible study. Same thing with witnessing. Same thing with tithing, giving of your money. You put up with short-term pain for long-term benefit. Focus on the long-term, not short. If you're focusing all in short-term, there's one word for it. It's foolish. It's foolish. If you're a college student, I beg you to not focus on the here and now, the parties and the fun and all that stuff, but focus on the long-term, where you want to be. Number six, the sixth habit is to remind myself that God is good and in control. This is an application of what the Bible teaches in Romans chapter 8. This is how God sets us free from the self-destructive weapon of bitterness. Remind myself that God is good and in control. And you need to remind yourself of that over and over and over and over and over every single day. Now, I don't have time to get into this, but in verses 19 to 25 of Romans chapter 8, Paul describes how sin has damaged the world.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to rickwarren.org or iTunes.com and download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast to listen again. Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Every day, there's a spiritual war raging all around you. Now, in order to effectively fight this war, you need to be equipped with knowledge of the tactics Satan will use to try to trap you. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. In this 7-session DVD series and workbook, Pastor Rick teaches how to overcome the three main types of temptations that Satan uses to influence us: passions, possessions, and position. If you expect to win the battle against temptation, it's critical that you know how to fight the predictable ways Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, is yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. So just go to rickwarren.org today to get your copy. Or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, you can text the word DAILY to 313131. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
We need to turn our thoughts to God whenever we're afraid. This is how God's Spirit sets us free from the attitude of fear. The Bible says, "For the Spirit God gives you doesn't make you slaves and cause you to be afraid. Instead, the Spirit makes you God's children. And by the Spirit's power, we cry out to God, 'Father, my Father.'" God's Spirit joins Himself to our spirits to declare that we are God's children. That's what Romans 8 says in verses 14 to 16. When you're afraid, stop focusing on your fear and start focusing on the Father. Whenever you're afraid, the first thing you need to do is remember this: whose family are you a part of? I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a child of God. I'm in the family, and families take care of each other. And there's a family protection too. So you can say to your fears, "Wait a minute. Do you know who my Father is? My Father is the creator of the universe. My Father is God. I'm a child of God. I'm in the family, and God takes care of His kids." Then you can cry out to the Father, "Father, Daddy, please take care of this fear for me. Will you handle this one for me? It's too big for me." And your Heavenly Father will say, "Of course, I'll handle it for you. Go back to sleep. You don't have to worry about it. I'll take care of it for you." I hope you've enjoyed this session today. Be sure to join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.